Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom again. And we will continue from where we were in our Torah reading in 2 Samuel 15, going over the topic of loyalty. The message is called, Are You Loyal? And I want to start in 2 Timothy 3, because I think one of the things that happens, and it's part of human nature, I always teach this at the school, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you, and your environment is 90% of who you are, it makes up of who you are. And when you live in a world like it talks about in 2 Timothy, it can't help but affect how you look at things and how you think of things. Just like if you think, you know, 100 years ago, 99% of society would think that homosexuality was unnormal and not a good thing. Even the people who did it they stayed in the closet because they knew there was something evil with it. But in the world we live in today, because society keeps telling you how normal it is and it's a normal way, you have people that are indifferent to it. Even people who don't believe in it, they're indifferent. So when you look here in 2 Timothy 3, and it says, But know this, in the last days disastrous times will be upon us. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, that's the one I'm going to really focus on today, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it. And what is the power of it? The Holy Spirit. Even turn away from these. So we see that, like I said, our environment really makes the person we are. And that's one of the things. I always think of the scripture in Genesis with Job. And it says, you know, it vexed Job's spirit, you know, to live in Sodom. And I know it vexes my spirit to live in a world where this is the overall attitude of people. You know, that human nature is at its worst. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, the worst time the world has ever known and will ever know. You know, when now you're seeing just abominable things here in the Middle East with these terror groups and what they're doing. And it's hard. It's hard to keep your mind on a focus of what Yahweh wants us to be, you know, completely. And that's one of the things why I say we got to be really careful of who we're with, you know. And certainly, we have to have relationships with people that are not brethren. That's part of life. But if your friends are mostly people that are unconverted and people that are part of the world, and that's where you're spending your time with, then you're certainly not going to, you know, fulfill the righteousness that Yahweh wants in you. And even if people are brethren, you know, I don't want to be around false brethren. I don't want to be around people claiming to be brethren, but they have these characteristics, because where it talks about this in 2 Timothy 3, the scary part is these are people that are in your congregation. You know, like he says, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it. Turn away from these. So it's not in the world he's worrying us about, but this is with even within people in your midst. So it really shows us how bad human nature is if we don't deny it. And if we don't surrender to the spirit of Yahweh. And like I said, today I want to talk more about traitors, because the world has become a culture of truce breakers. It's a culture of it. And people don't even see it anymore. There was an expression years back called, my word is my bond. My word is my bond. And I tell people this, when I was younger and I was in the business world, you know, on a handshake, I can borrow very large sums of money just with a handshake. And even when I ran into problems in my life and I had to go into bankruptcy, and bankruptcy means, just like the 7 years in the Torah, you know, where all the debts are released, the bankruptcy releases you of all your debts from a legal way. I still paid every debt of anybody I shook their hand and told them I'd pay them the money back, even though I didn't have to. I did it because I gave my word. And when I give my word to something, to the best of my ability, I want to keep it. And whether that's I'll meet you at 2 o'clock, you know, things happen. You might be there 2:05. There could be traffic. But I always say I'd much rather be 5 or 10 minutes early than be 1 minute late. And I always try to do that, especially if I'm going to the Knesset, because I know in things like that, or you're meeting a government person, it doesn't matter. If you're late, you missed your meeting. That's it. They're not waiting for you. You lost that opportunity of whatever could happen. So it's important that we realize that even just giving someone a commitment, hey, you know, this Sunday I'll come over and I'll help you move your refrigerator. If you don't do it, you're a truce breaker. You know, is your word your bond? And that's what I'm saying. The world has become a culture of truce breakers, starting from the top. You know, there is not a leader in the world of any country who's not a liar. Every one of them, they lie outwardly to their people. And then their people vote for them, you know, and they fight for them. So we really have to think about this, you know, when we're thinking about loyalty, because the main point I want to bring out is that loyalty isn't just something you do. It's a character trait. You know, it's a character trait. And when we're looking at other things, and I can give thousands of sermons on all kinds of things, everything from doctrines and the Sabbath and the calendar, and all interesting. I'm working on sermons now that you won't believe the interesting parts of them, and they're all interesting. But the bottom line is, if you don't have loyalty toward Yahweh, none of it else will matter. You know, and we're in a time, the Laodicean era, where you have a whole movement of people that, like we read here, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it. That they're coming back to the Torah and they're keeping the Sabbath or they're doing this, and yet at the same rate, they're denying the power of the Holy Spirit because they're not surrendering to the flesh and they won't follow any form of judicial order. So what good is the rest of the things? What good of you? You're no different than a Jewish person who's trying to keep the Torah on his own, you know, without the blood of Yeshua covering their life. So it's an extremely important subject. And when you think about it, and I've said this many, many times, life is a test. You know, that's all it is. It may not seem that way sometimes. If you're behind 2 months on the rent, you know, the car breaks down when you're on your way to somewhere you have to go. But it really is. Everything in life is a test. And the bottom line is, sure, the tests that Yahweh give us, they help us to build diligence and self-control. But the bottom line is, the real test that Yahweh is looking at is our loyalty. He's got to see if we're loyal. When we start out with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it's such a basic story. You know, here's two people, and there's two trees. They look exactly alike, and Yahweh says, don't eat of this tree, but eat of this tree. How much more of a basic story of loyalty can you get? You know, and we'll read it a little later. But what happened? Adam failed the test. Adam failed the test, and it affected every human being since that time. And it was a test of loyalty. It was that simple. You know, Satan the devil, you know, when you look at Satan, who the Bible tells us was Lucifer, you know, Hayel, the light giver, the praiser of Yahweh. He was the covering cherub, you know, protecting the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. In my mind, I can't conceive how a cherub that was created to praise Yahweh, and who knows how long he did this for, could actually get so warped and perverted that he can become Satan the adversary, you know. And that's why Yahweh's not going to give us. Right now we have eternal life dwelling in us, if we have the Spirit of Yahweh in us. But also, he can take that Spirit away, you know, at the judgment. It doesn't mean because you're baptized that you're automatically going to keep your eternal life. You're either going to get immortality at the judgment, or you're going to go to the lake of fire. And it all depends on loyalty. You know, Yahweh's not going to give everybody immortality so he could have a million more Satan the devils. You know, come on, he's not crazy. So this is an extremely important subject because, like I said, it's not just something you do. It's something you are. It's an inherent part of your character. And if you don't have it, look out. You know, because it's a very, very hard thing to acquire. If you're disloyal, you're traitorous. You know, it's a very hard thing. Numbers 30 and verse 2 says, when a man vows a vow to Yahweh or has sworn an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do all that has gone out of his mouth. So there's many other scriptures that we can go into this. By our words we'll be justified, Matthew 12, by our words we'll be condemned. I'm not going to get so much into it because I'm going to hit it from a little bit different standpoint. I'm going to give some stories of it. But really, like I said, it starts, if you're not faithful in little things, you won't be faithful in big things. And it really starts where we must, to the best of our ability, try to fulfill any commitment we give. And we should be careful when we're giving commitments. You know, sometimes people might think, if you say something like, hey, can I borrow this? And someone says, let me get back to you on that. They might, oh, he's selfish, or he doesn't want... No, he may not be selfish. He may be diligent. And he may be thinking about, can I afford to give this out? Because if somebody is a carpenter and he has one hammer, yeah, he better think twice before he lends the hammer out to somebody who just lost three hammers in the last month, when that's the livelihood of his family. So again, you know, that's being diligent, because the person knows if he gives his commitment, he has to follow through. So nothing wrong with being diligent and praying about before giving your commitment to something. We should always do that. But once you give that commitment, that's it. Whatever has come out of your mouth, you have to perform. There's no changing my mind. There's no, oh, well, you know what? I wasn't thinking about it. Unless you're a woman. That's one of the blessings of being a woman, that you can have your father or your husband can disannul the vow that you gave. But for men, we don't have that liberty. And like I said, we're living in a world, the worst world ever, the world of truce breakers. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Yahweh pleads for his people in this regard. And look what he says. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. So here's Yahweh using terminology of even crying and weeping over his people for this. He says, oh, that I had a lodging place for travelers in the wilderness. Back to the wilderness. That I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous ones. And they bend their tongues, their bow is a lie. And they are not mighty for the truth on the earth. For they go from evil to evil. They also do not know me, says Yahweh. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. What a sad statement. For every brother will supplant, and every neighbor will walk as a slanderer. And we know in the end time it even says, father will betray child, you know, brother will betray brother until death. And everyone will deceive his neighbor, and they will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your home is in the midst of deceit. Though deceit, they refuse to know me, says Yahweh. For this reason, says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them. Like I said, life is a test. It's just a test of our loyalty. For what else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a murdering arrow. It speaks deceit. One speaks peace with his neighbor in his mouth, but his heart he sets in ambush. And that's what people do a lot of times when they're gossiping. Shall I not visit them for these things, says Yahweh? Or shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? I mean, you know, I am Yahweh. I change not. Therefore the sons of Israel not consumed. And Yahweh does keep his words. Yahweh is loyal. Even when we're unloyal, Yahweh continues to be loyal, because it says in Hebrews 6, he can't be unloyal to himself. And his spirit is within us. And that's why Yahweh's grace is there. That's why he gives us mercy to repent. Because he loves us. And he is loyal until the end. But in the end of the day, we are going to reap what we sow, like we said the last time. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. So we see in the end time, we have to be aware of this. That we're in a very, very time of unloyalty, of truce breakers. And especially when we're in the congregation, we have to think that if there are people that are like this, you got to remove yourself from them. You got to remove yourself from people with that spirit. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. He who covers a translation seeks love, but he who repeats a matter seeks friends. So when we're looking at gossip, you know, one thing we have to look at, and of course you have to keep trust. If somebody says to you, if they say something that's private, they say, you know, can I trust you with this? To a degree, you know, why would you give your word to somebody without knowing what it is? You know, if someone came up to you and said, look, I got to tell you something really, really important, but you got to promise me you won't tell anybody. And then what if they came up and told you they just murdered two children? You know what you just did? If you said, okay, I won't say anything, you gave your loyalty over to a murderer. I've had people say that to me before, that they came up and said, somebody said something against you. And I said, okay. And I said, well, who was the one who said it? I'd like to know so I can approach them. Well, I told them I wouldn't say anything. It's like, So you're giving your loyalty to the liar instead of to your pastor. You're giving your loyalty to the liar instead of the pastor. You got to really think about it, you know? And that's why when someone comes up to me and says, look, I want to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody. I tell them right up front, well, it depends. If it's something personal, of course. And like we always say with gossip, the first thing, is it true and is it necessary? But if somebody tells you something that is against somebody else, usually what I'll say is if it's gossip, I'll say, well, this is what we're going to do. You're going to go to that person and tell them yourself, or I'm going to tell them. It's one or the other. But I'm not going to just listen to gossip from somebody and then keep it to myself or tell the person I know gossip about you, but I can't tell you who said it. Because then I'm being disloyal to everybody. I'm being disloyal to Yahweh, I'm being disloyal to myself, and I'm being disloyal to my friend who was gossiped about. So that's not the answer, is giving your loyalty, and that's the point I'm going to say at the end. We're all loyal to something. The problem is today, the traitors and the truth breakers are only loyal to their own soul. We're all going to be loyal to something, but where does our loyalty start? Does it start with Yahweh down through his leadership to the congregation? Now, on the other end, at the same rate, we don't want to be talebearers, you know. You don't want to be talebearers. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. A revealer of secrets walks about as a gossip. So do not meddle with him who opens his lips wide. So overall, in the congregation, and there's probably nobody who counsels with people more than I do, for the most part, in personal matters, you try to not, you would never repeat something. There's things that people have told me I won't even tell my wife, you know, if they're personal matters. And that's why I say you always have to think, you know, is it necessary? There are times when you do have to repeat something that somebody even tells you in confidence. You know, there's times. If somebody comes in the congregation and they have a problem with something, if they're maybe a pedophiler, and you have 30 children in your congregation, it's really hard if that person is still dealing with that problem. Now, if it's something they had 20 years ago and they overcame, that's different. But if somebody is still dealing with that, and they're still doing it, it's kind of hard not to let the people with children know that maybe this shouldn't be the guy who's leading the children's study, you know, the one who's had this problem. So sometimes, you know, you really have to pray about it. It's not always the same answer that comes, but overall, apart from that, just in general, when somebody comes to you and counsels and they're sharing with you something that's personal, do you go right back and say something? You know, if someone came and said, oh, you know, I had a problem with alcohol 20 years ago. You know, if you're over there talking, you're going to tell, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so, yeah, he said, See, even elders I've seen do it. Just in general conversation, will bring out a sin of somebody that they had in their former life. A revealer of secrets walks about as a gossip, so do not meddle with him who opens his lips wide. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful of spirit keeps a matter hidden. I always say with the leadership that work with me, you know, as the head leader, I see a lot of strengths in people, I see weaknesses in people. And my job has always been to help build the strengths of people and to help them overcome their weaknesses. That's the point of it. Not exposing weaknesses. It's helping people overcome the weaknesses. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful spirit keeps a matter hidden. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love quietly covers all things. And many times we can do that. Many times we can cover. The Bible says in Matthew 18, if there's a problem, you go to your brother. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. If not, bring two witnesses. If not, then bring it before the congregation. So sometimes you can go to somebody and deal with it. But only if the person is repentant. Only if he's willing to hear. You know? But we have to know where our loyalties stand. Love covers all things. And I honestly believe, you know, through the years, this ministry has been going on since 1995, you know, here in Israel since about the year 2000. And unfortunately, we've seen people, even in leadership, that have come and gone. You know, it's part of the times we're living in. There's nothing you can do about it. But I have to say, overall, as the ministry has grown worldwide, I believe the reason why many people are attracted to the ministry, of course, beside the message that's coming, is really because when people come here, they see the love of the people. They see the love of the people. And I thank Yahweh for that. Because I know years ago when we were first starting, and wow, we were getting people from everywhere. You know, Messianic, Nazarite, Israelite, and this and all this kind of stuff. And I said to Petri, after one of the first feasts we did, I said, wow, we got to define who we are. because I'm not this, you know. You know, I'm, we got to really define who we are. We got to really start bringing this doctrine out more. Because if not, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a house of chaos here. And I don't want any part of it. And as we started defining ourselves, what happened? The people that were more rigid and more, they went to the side. The people that were more loving, they attracted to it. And I've had many, many first-timers. I'd say at least two-thirds of the first-timers over all the years we do the feast when they come. They say, well, I never met a congregation like this. I never met people that are loving, that support the leadership, that has judicial water. Unfortunately, some of the same people that said that a year or two later will leave for the same reasons. Because you have judicial order. And now that they're doing something and they don't like it. But love quietly covers all things. So it's we try to quietly cover all things. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress or adversity. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress or adversity. And, you know, like I said, as the leader, when I was younger, before I was into ministry, my life was much more simpler. You know, I come from a strong Italian family, and praise Yahweh, from the day I was born, they taught me loyalty. They taught me loyalty, that you have the family and you have everybody else. And then when you come into the truth, you realize, although I still love my family and they are my physical family, that Yahweh's people are your family. That you people, you're my real brothers and sisters. It's not just an analogy. We are of the same spirit. So my loyalties have to go with Yahweh first, before anything. And like I said, as the leader, you don't always deal with that. You have people who come into this ministry. There's people that have, from thousands of miles away, they want to come and meet me. And some of them, because they have ambitions. They have ambitions to become a minister. They have ambitions for this. You know, and you see it, and the minute their ambitions, or maybe bringing a doctrine into the congregation, and when they don't get their ambitions, you know what they do? They do the same thing that Absalom did. They go around trying to find the other people who maybe have a gripe or maybe feel the same way, and then they want to cause a rebellion. That's disloyalty. Yahweh calls it treason. He calls it treason. Because again, I didn't put myself here. I'm not a self-appointed leader. You know, we have the book, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against Her. We see there's been a line of elderhood. We see all the way from the beginning. So if people want to reject that line of elderhood, then they're rejecting all the congregation for the last 2,000 years. Because it's written in their code that they had this. It was something, whether it was the Anabaptists, whether it was the Waldenses, whether it was the Paulicians, they all said it. They had that book, that elder's book. And they all proudly said, the Catholic Church, they're false Christians. They're false. They don't have authority from Yahweh. Constantine and Simon Magus, they set up on their own. But we know from Yeshua and the apostles that there's been an unbroken chain of ordination. And as we'll see later in the sermon, even if things don't go good, even if the leader isn't what you think, that doesn't give you the ability to fight against him if Yahweh put him in his position. We'll see that with David and Saul. So some people join ministry wanting ordination. They don't get it. They leave. Everything we do must be built on loyalty. You know, like I tell you, I get about 400 letters a month. Most of the letters are good. I'd say 99% of the letters. Praise Yahweh. I don't know why people that may be against, they don't really write. That's a good thing. Rather not hear them. But most of the letters that we get, it's so encouraging for me, the letters we get. But sad to say, the same thing. You know, there's people that will write a letter and tell you how, wow, this is the truth. You don't know how many times I heard that from people. Yahweh told them, the Holy Spirit, they heard a voice. And they know they've never seen anything like this. They know that this is the truth. And then 1-2 years later, they leave. And it's not because of us. It's not because of us. You know why they leave? Sometimes it's because they want to leave their spouse and marry another. Sometimes it's because of an addiction they had that they can't overcome. Sometimes it's just because their false personality was found out, whatever the reason is. But again, it's not showing disloyal to a person. It's showing disloyal to Yahweh. Because how double-minded are you if you're telling me one day you know this is true, and then a year later you're walking off and saying, I want nothing to do with it. I never did that in my life. I found this truth 32 years ago. I embraced it, and I never stepped to the right or to the left. I've stayed right on it. I've been in an organization that the whole organization left the truth. Not me. The things they taught me when I came in, I followed because they were true. So even if the leader stopped believing in the Sabbath or whatever, had nothing to do with me. You know, didn't fight against them, shook their hand, goodbye. You go your way, I'll go my way. but the truth is the truth. Because I knew my loyalty is with Yahweh. And when I was in the congregation, I would do anything that was asked of me, as long as it didn't break the commandment. And that's always the way I felt. These are leaders that Yahweh put there. You know, I worked day and night. I used my trucks to help them, whatever it was. But the day that the leader got up and said, we're a New Testament congregation, the Sabbath's no longer binding, you're not a leader of Yahweh anymore. So it's not that we blindly follow leadership. The Bible says, you know, that we have to test the spirits. But once you test the spirits, yes, then you have to follow the leadership. That's judicial order. Yahweh's order of justice is just the way it works. And people that don't want to do that, they're disloyal. They're traitors. Not traitors against man, but traitors against Yahweh. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of friends may be broken up, but there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother. A man of friends may be broken up, but there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother. And we know the loyalty of a spouse means more than anything. You know, I've done marriage counseling many, many years for many, many people. And ultimately, when you talk to women, you always get the same thing. If you say to women, what is the one thing that you would want in a marriage? And it's always love. To a man, what is the one thing you want? It's always loyalty. Of course, there's the odd person that may say something different, but that's basically, the women always want the love from the man always wants the loyalty from the woman. So, like we see here, man, a friend may be broken up, just like we saw with King David, but there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother. And that's the one thing, as a wife, you always have to be loyal to the person Yahweh put you there. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Read this many times in different contexts. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So why are we reading this today? Because again, do not love the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So literally, you know, the one who loves the world is becoming an enemy of Yahweh. And is your loyalty to Yahweh or the world? You know, Western Laodicean congregations, they have a hard time surrendering. And when I say Western, it's a Western mindset I'm talking about, not a place. You know, but that Western mindset, they have a hard time surrendering. But is your loyalty to Yahweh or is it to the world? You know, like I always say, if you're giving 50, 60 hours a week to an earthly position or job, and Yahweh's only getting one or two, then where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty? Proverbs 1 and verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone who gets unjust gain. It takes away its owner's soul. And I've seen this in politics. I've seen it in business. Sometimes people start with the best intentions, but then money, greed, possessions will just overtake them. So are the ways of everyone who gets unjust gain. It takes away its owner's soul. You know, in the world we're living in today is much different than the world that I grew up in. And things changed over about a 10 to 15 year period, very, very subtle that people didn't even know it. That when I grew up, you know, in our little town, you would have the bakery, you had the hardware store, the tailor, you know, there was still at that time Louis the shoemaker. From all the way from when my father was a little boy and when I was born, this man was still there. He was a shoemaker. He used to fix the shoes that you would have. You know, knew him for years. And the five and dime where you would buy things, the grocery stores, you know, the ShopRite that we had, Mr. Sitar, he died at like 96 years old. And he started that ShopRite way back even before I was born. And he'd go in there, and everyone knew him, and he'd put things out for people to eat, try a little bit of cheese, and everybody knew everybody. And in that day, you got service, because you know what? If there was something wrong, you'd go to Mr. So-and-so, and you would tell him, hey, I bought this here. No problem. You know, if you had to buy something, I remember as a kid, there was times I'd go in the store, and I'd look in my pocket, and I didn't have enough money, and he'd say, it's okay. You bring it the next time. Try doing that in Walmart. You'll get arrested outside by the NSA or whatever it is. It doesn't work that way. Our world has changed from the mom and pop, from the people that you had loyalty to and had loyalty to you, to Walmart, to conglomerate, to to Domino's Pizza, you know, from Domino, the real Italian, you know, Dominic, who's making it. Everything is a chain. Everything is corporate. And the one thing I learned, believe me, I came from the business world, is there is no soul in corporate America. It's an entity. There's a book called Dr. Frankenstein and Dr. Frankenstein and Organization. And it was showing the minute you become an organization, you lose your soul. Because the soul is in individuality. The soul is in people. The soul is in the owners of something, not in a corporation. You know, the corporation has their rules and the corporation has this, but it has no soul. It has no soul. And the world really changed. And, you know, the people of the world lost something when that happened. And nothing against Walmart. You know, good prices, very convenient to things. But something changed in the life of every person when the world changed from that way. You know, from going down and going into the bakery and knowing the owner, he gives you a little cookie, you know, compared to just putting everybody out of business for the corporate world. And I say, so where's your loyalty? You know, would you support that man that you knew for 40 years, even if you had to pay a little bit more? Or are you going to go down the block to the Walmart because you can get it a little bit cheaper? That's why I say it affects all of us. The fact that we live in a world that has a culture of truth breakers, it affects our mindset. And we have to think about it. You know, we should be thinking about it on a regular basis. Where are our loyalties and how we need to be loyal to Yahweh? Jobs. You know, when I was a kid, I remember my great-grandfather built the railroad in America going all the way across in those days in the early 1900s. And people would work, whether it was General Motors working on an assembly line, not maybe an interesting job, you're sitting there 8 hours a day, but people, it was a job. And they thanked their bosses that they had a job. And people were, they were loyal to their bosses. And they would work for 25 years. And you know what? The boss would give them a gold watch. And they'd have a ceremony that this person worked for our company 25 years and was an honorable person. You know, today the average person works a job 2 to 4 years maximum. People, they don't want, because they want to move ahead. Even the people they work with, they cut the guy in front of them because they want to take his position. You know, and they know the way corporate America is today, you know, because of the money situation. And this guy that's been there maybe 15 years, he's getting paid a lot more. So this guy at lower level, if he can cut that guy out, then he can get his position and the company saves money. It's the way they work. It's the way a lot of it works, even in the military. Unbelievable. But today there's very little dedication to bosses, people always being unsatisfied. So if that's the way it is in with work with people, how do you think it's going to be? Where do people come from? They come into congregation. They don't fall out of the sky. We don't pick them off the olive tree. They come from the world. So if the world is filled with disgruntled, disloyal people, then what's going to happen? Now you're going to get, granted, yes, through the Holy Spirit, people can change if they surrender to the Holy Spirit. But there's many people that are coming into the congregation not because they want to change. They're coming in because they found out a piece of knowledge. Oh, Saturday's right. Or this is pagan, you know, all the big pagan thing. So they're going to come in, and yet they never repent, so they don't receive the Holy Spirit. And this is why it says there's weeds among tares, you know. And we can't let that attitude of people that come in with that affect us. We have to try to affect them in a good way, and if you can't, then there has to move on at times. The attitude of disloyalty today, like I said, also can come in the congregation. I met in America, and I guess this goes all over the world, because even people that I met from the East have this attitude that they don't want to be part of a congregation. Sometimes at the feast, we have about 60% congregation of Yahweh and about 40% visitors. And I'll ask the visitors all the time, oh, what congregation do you belong to? Oh, I don't belong to a congregation. I just jump around from here and there. What does that tell you? You know, that tells that person is selfish. They don't want any kind of commitment. They don't want any kind of accountability. I know I've been invited to congregations before to preach. And I'll ask the leader there. I'll say, oh, how long have you congregation? No, we're not a congregation. We're a Bible study group. What's the difference? Well, Bible study group has no accountability. They could be living in adultery, doing whatever, and they all come and buy my books every week. If you're a congregation, it can't be that way. You know, in a congregation, we have accountability to each other. And that's why I don't want anybody in the congregation who's not loyal to me. You know why? Because I'm loyal to every person in the congregation. And why would I want to be loyal to someone who's disloyal back to me? It's that simple. It's just the way it works. But you have to give of yourself to do that. You have to surrender yourself. And it's the way it works. That's the kingdom principle. You know, and you do it for yourself because you know when the kingdom comes, that's the way it's going to be. And if I don't learn that principle now, it's not going to be that I'll learn it later. It's going to be I won't be there. We have to learn it now. We have to learn this principle now of loyalty to Yahweh. In Western society today, the falling away rate of new believers in the congregation is something like 70 to 75% in 1 to 3 years. Now, that's only in about the last 4 or 5 years. Before that, the falling away rate was less than 10%. Less than 10%. Somebody came in, that was it. They'd be there. But in the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's 70 to 80%. And people, they come in, they're all excited. But what does it show? Logically think to yourself that if we can't be loyal to Yahweh for 1 to 3 years, how are we going to be loyal for eternity? How would Yahweh ever give you immortality? You know? Look at Satan the devil. Like I said, he was Lucifer the light giver. And some wicked thing in his mind perverted him, some selfishness, to become Satan the devil. So Yahweh doesn't want to have a million Satan the devils. And that's why, like we said, it doesn't matter where we end up in the end of this. It's only a test. What matters is that we show Yahweh we'll be loyal. That we show Yahweh that we will be loyal for eternity. Loyal to him, and we have to be loyal to the leadership that he puts here on the earth. Loyalty takes commitment, discipline, and sacrifice. Loyalty takes commitment, discipline, and sacrifice. And you have to have that in your life. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Says, my son, do not forget my Torah, but let your heart guard and keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Mercy and truth will not forsake you. Tie them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. Healing shall be to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. And your barns will be filled with plenty, and your wine vats will burst with new wine. Some people don't even tithe and steal from Yahweh, which is disloyalty. My son, do not reject the chastising of Yahweh, and do not hate his correction. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects his son with whom he's pleased. Like I said, it's all a test. Yahweh corrects us because he loves us. And he's wanting to teach us. He wants to teach us. Loyalty to Yahweh, correction is for our benefit. Correction is for our benefit. Hosea 6, verse 6 and 7 says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They have acted like traitors against me here. Wow. Yahweh is looking for faithfulness, not sacrifice or knowledge. It is disloyal to Yahweh to allow heresy. And he calls Adam a traitor. And that's why I say, Adam lost a kingdom. He didn't lose a religion. Matter of fact, let's go there. Genesis 3. Desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of Yahweh more than burnt offerings. Genesis chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. And the serpent was cunning above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim has said you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. Just like we read in 1 John, like we said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Same thing here. And she ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed leaves of the fig tree and made girdles for themselves. They were naked. They lost their covering. They lost their covering. And they heard the sound of Yahweh Elohim walking up and down in the garden at the breeze of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the face of Yahweh Elohim in the middle of the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I have heard the sound in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave to me of the tree, and I ate." And Yahweh Elohim said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And Yahweh Elohim said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, you are cursed above all beasts and above every animal of the field. You shall go on your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." And you know, there is nothing in this world that is more beautiful than the innocence of a child. You know, and we always will quote something a child said because it's they say it of innocence, and they're so cute to it. And there is nothing more vile and disgusting in this world when somebody violates a child, when they take the innocence of that child away. And that's exactly what Satan was doing here. Satan took the innocence of Adam and Eve away. They were children. They were just created. So they may have looked like human beings, but their mind was like children. And that's why it says once they ate, they realized they were naked. They realized they had no covering. Their innocence was taken away. And it's exactly like we're reading in 1 Samuel 15. What was the first thing Absalom did when he went and he was planning to go against David? He looked for the disgruntled people. He looked for the people that he could work with against the king, against the person that Yahweh had anointed and Yahweh put in charge there. And that's the way Satan does it. Satan wants to take away the innocence of the congregation. So Satan will plant people. There's weeds among tares. And he'll bring people that have no innocence. He'll bring people that have evil intent. And he'll bring people that want to steal the innocence of anybody that's there in the congregation. And I say there's nothing that is a greater joy than when you see a brand new person and you see somebody in their first love to Yahweh. It's so exciting to see that brand new person who's, they don't have faith yet, but they're trying to get that faith. And they're willing to do anything, and you're trying to give them encouragement. And it's like there is no tomorrow to them. Today they got this truth and they're so excited. And that's what Satan wants to steal. He wants to steal that innocence from you, and he wants to steal it from me. Adam didn't lose a religion, he lost a kingdom. It was an act of treason that has affected every human being since that time. 1 Samuel 15. Because, you know, who are we to tell Yahweh who he should put as leadership? Even in our countries, it talks about not to speak evil against a leader or disrespectful. Now again, if leaders are doing something bad, we have the responsibility to talk against abortion or these things that are against the word of Yahweh. But we shouldn't be disrespectful in our talking. Because every leader in the world, every president, every prime minister has been allowed there, at least by Yahweh. If he didn't want them there, he wouldn't have to. But how much more in his congregation? How much more should it be in his congregation? And we see here that in the story I'm going to read, not the whole thing, but part of it, with Saul, that Saul abused this power and went against the judicial order of Yahweh, that only a priest was able to do a sacrifice. And he paid a very, very heavy penalty for it. So 1 Samuel 15. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'Yahweh sent me to anoint you over his people, over Israel. And now listen to the voice of the words of Yahweh. So says Yahweh of hosts, I will visit Amalek with what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, and you shall strike Amalek and destroy all that he has. And you shall have no pity on him. And you shall put to death all from man to woman, from little one to suckling, from ox to sheep, and from camel and donkey.'" So this was the word that Yahweh gave to Saul to do. And then if you drop down to verse 9, "And Saul and the people had pity on Agag and on the best of the flock and on the herd and the seconds and the lamb and all that was good, and were not willing to exterminate them. But they exterminated every despised and worthless thing." So again, you see his heart is not right. "And the word of Yahweh was to Samuel, saying, 'I repent that I made Saul reign as king, for he has turned back from following me, and he has not risen to do my words. And Samuel was angry and cried to Yahweh all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told to Samuel, saying, Saul has come to Carmel, and behold, he has set up a place to himself, and he has gone and has passed over and has gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of Yahweh, I have risen to do the word of Yahweh. And Samuel said, What then is the noise of the flock in my ears, and the sound of the herd that I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from Amalek, because the people had pity on the best of the flock and the herd, in order to sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim, and the rest we have exterminated. And Samuel said to Saul, Stop, and I will declare to you that which Yahweh spoke to me tonight. And he said to him, Speak. And Samuel said, You were not even you little in your own eyes before becoming leader over the tribes of Israel. And Yahweh anointed you as king over Israel. And Yahweh sent you on the way and said to you, Go and exterminate the sinners, Amalek, and fight against them until they finish them. Why did you not listen to the voice of Yahweh, but did fly upon the spoil and did the evil in the eyes of Yahweh? And Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of Yahweh, and I went in the way which Yahweh sent me and brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I exterminated Amalek. And the people took from the spoil the flock and the first of the herd that the vow devoted to sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Does Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, obeying is better than sacrifice. To give attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft or divination, and stubbornness is both iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the mouth of Yahweh and your word, because I feared the people and listened to their voice, not taking responsibility still. And now please lift up my sin and return with me that I may worship Yahweh. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned around to go, and he took hold of the edge of his robe, and he tore it. And Samuel said to him, Yahweh has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given to your neighbor, who is better than you. Then what does he do in verse 32? And Samuel said, Bring near to me Agag, the king of Amalek. And Agag came to him cheerfully, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death has passed. And Samuel said, As your sword has bereaved women of children, so shall your mother be bereaved among women. And Samuel cut Agag in pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. So we see, again, life is a test. Yahweh only has us living in Satan's world to see where our loyalty will be, and if he can trust us with eternal life. Sometimes people will compromise on the Sabbath. They'll bring up reasons why they can work on the Sabbath, and I'll donate the money. But like I said, life is a test. It's a life of loyalty. We're all going to have to go through it in one way or the other. The test for each of us is different, but in the end, it all comes down to loyalty. 1 Samuel 24, because now we see the person who replaces Saul, King David. Like we said, King David had many problems, made many mistakes, but one thing he was to Yahweh, at least anyway, was loyal. 1 Samuel 24. And it happened when Saul had returned from after the Philistines, they told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men on the front of the rocks of the wild goats. And on the way he came into the folds of the flock, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. And David's men said to him, Behold, the day of which Yahweh said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as is good as you in your eyes. But David rose up and quietly cut off the tassel of Saul's robe. And it happened afterward, the heart of David struck him because he cut off Saul's tassel. And he said to his men, Far be it from me by Yahweh, I shall not do this thing to my master, to the anointed of Yahweh, to put out my hand against him, for he is the anointed of Yahweh. And David held back his men by words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul rose up from the cave and went his way. And David rose up afterward and went out of the cave and called to Saul, saying, My master the king. And Saul looked behind him, and David was bowing face to the earth and prostrated himself. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of man, saying, Behold, David seeks to do you evil? See this day, your eyes have seen how Yahweh has delivered you into my hand in the cave. And one said to kill you, but I had pity on you, and I said, I shall not put out my hand against my master, for he is the anointed of Yahweh. And my father, behold, Yet see the tassel of your robe in my hand, for I cut off the tassel of your robe, and I did not kill you. Now and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you are lying in wait for my soul to take it. Yahweh shall judge between you and me, and Yahweh shall avenge me of you, but my hand shall not be on you. As the proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be on you. And after whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom are you pursuing? After a dead dog? After a flea? Yea, Yahweh shall be judge, and shall judge between me and you. Yea, he shall see and contend for my cause, and shall deliver me out of your hand. And it happened when David finished speaking these words to Saul. Saul said, is this your voice, my son? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have done good to me, and I have rewarded you with evil. So it wasn't that David had this great love for Saul. You know, you see, Saul is disloyal to him. But David knew that Yahweh put Saul in that position. And David was not going to go against the anointed of Yahweh that Yahweh had put there. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 15. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We read it in the Torah study, but I just want to read a few verses because, like I was saying before, this was a very bad situation for King David. Here comes Absalom. Absalom gets the grumblers together. He takes 4 years to build this treasonous plan against David. And David had big trouble because even David's best counselors were going with Absalom. And it shows you again the disloyalty. Many of the people went with Absalom, which shows you that human nature, people are fickle. They'll jump from one side to the other. And yet, the thing that I believe got David through this was the loyalty of some of the people that were closest to him. So I'm going to read verses 18 through 22. And all his servants were passing on by his side, and all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men who came at the feet from Gath, they were passing on before the king. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why do you go, even you with us? Turn back and remain with the king, for you are an alien, and also you are an exile. Go to your place. You came in yesterday and today. Should I make you roam with us to go while I go where I go? Turn back and turn your brothers to go with you in kindness and truth. And Ittai replied to the king and said, as Yahweh lives and my master the king lives, surely in the place where my master the king is, there your servant shall be, whether for death or for life. And David said to Ittai, go on and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones with him. Even taking his children, risking the lives of his children because of his loyalty to the king. We drop down to verse 32. And it happened as David had come to the top, there he bowed to Elohim, and behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him, his tunic torn and earth on his head. And David said to him, if you pass with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and you say to Absalom, I also will be your servant, O king. I was servant of your father before now, and now I also your servant. Then you can break down the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And then verse 37 says, and David's friend Hushai came into the city, and Absalom came to Jerusalem. So they point out that it was David's friend. David, he didn't do it out of opportunity. He did it out of loyalty. Hushai, who was loyal to David. When you're talking about loyalty, I don't think you can properly give a sermon without going to the book of Ruth, because it's one of the greatest examples, I think, in all the Bible, of just a simple, humble woman, not thinking that in history she was going to be this or that, but just somebody that, like I said, it's not just something she did, it was something she was. It's a character trait. Ruth, the first chapter, and in verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, you know, Ruth and her sister, go each, return to the house of her mother. May Yahweh deal kindly with you as you have done with the dead and with me. May Yahweh grant to you that you find rest each in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, nevertheless, we will go back with you to your people. And Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Are there yet sons to me in my belly that they should be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters, go. For I am too old to belong to a husband, though I say there is hope for me, and I should be tonight with a husband, and I should also bear sons. Will you wait for them, that they might grow up?
Will you shut yourself up for them, not to belong to a husband? No, my daughters, for it is much more bitter for me than for you, for the hand of Yahweh has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has turned back to her tribe and to her Elohim. You turn back after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, do not beg me to leave you, to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people are my people, and your Elohim is my Elohim. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May Yahweh do to me, and more so, if anything but death part you and me. What a great example of Ruth here. Totally loyal, number one, to her mother-in-law, to the memory of her dead husband, and even to raise the seed of the dead husband, the name of the dead husband, through Boaz. And loyal to Yahweh, you know, that her Elohim is her Elohim. Never once thought what was best for her, but for her family. You look at the whole book, whatever the mother-in-law tells her, go do this, go do that, she did. Never thinking twice about her wants, about her future, or any of these things. She had made the covenant of joining that family. She had made the covenant with Yahweh, and that's what she wanted to fulfill. So I say, I don't think you could find a greater story in the Bible of loyalty than when we look at Ruth. Another one we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Rechabites, Jeremiah 35. We'll read the whole story, but just a part of it. Have a lot to say about them in a couple of weeks. Jeremiah 35 in verse 11 says, but it happened when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, then we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem because of the army of the Chaldeans and because of the army of the Syrians, and we lived in Jerusalem. This is the Rechabites saying this. Then the word of Yahweh was to Jeremiah saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Will you not receive instruction to listen to my word, says Yahweh? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, are done, in which he commanded his sons not to drink wine. And to this day they do not drink, but obey their father's command. But I have spoken to you rising early and speaking, and you did not listen to me. I have also sent to you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending, saying, each man now turn back from his evil way and amend your doings. And do not go after other gods to serve them. And you shall live in the land which I am given to you and to your fathers. But you have not bowed your ear nor listened to me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have stood on the command of their father, which he gave them. But this people has not listened to me. So Yahweh of Elohim of hosts says this. The Elohim of Israel says, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the people of Jerusalem all the evil that I have spoken against them, because I have spoken to them, but they did not listen. Yea, I have called to them, but they did not answer. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, so says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, because you have obeyed your father Jonadab's command, and have kept all his commands, and have done according to all he's commanded you, so Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, says this, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not have a man cut off from standing before me all the days. So, wow. Here it is, even up until today. These people exist. They were also helpers in the temple to perform things. And because of their loyalty, now here it was, they're not Israelites, but Yahweh saw a trait in them that Israelites, a lot of them, didn't have. He saw a trait in loyalty, and he said, I want these people in my kingdom because of that. John 6 and verse 49. John 6 and verse 49. This is when Yeshua is speaking with the people. Sometimes we think, well, if I would have lived in the days of Yeshua, it would have been great and I would have been there. But let's look at what happened to some of the believers in that day. John 6 and verse 49 says, your father ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread coming out of heaven, that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed, the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews argued with one another, saying, how can this one give us his flesh to eat? Then Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. Talking about Passover, of course. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my body is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He who eats my body and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Even as the living Father sent me, and I live through the Father, also the one partaking me, even that one will live through me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. The one partaking of this bread will live forever. He said these things, teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. Then many of the disciples, having heard, they said, "This word is hard. Who is able to bear it?" But knowing in himself that his disciples were murmuring about this, Yeshua said to him, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to the place where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit nothing. The words which I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who are not believing. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were, the ones not believing, and who was the ones betraying him. The one betraying him. And he said, because of this I have told you that no one is able to come to me except it is given to him from my Father. Because of this saying, many of his disciples turned their backs and did not walk with him. Therefore Yeshua said to the 12, do you also wish to go? Then Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. And we have believed and have known that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Yeshua answered him, did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. But he spoke of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, for this one was about to betray him, being of the 12. So even Yeshua had people disloyal to him. And again, it was a test. You think about it. After 3 years almost of ministry that he had, it was only 120 believers, you know, that were there in the upper room on that first Shavuot. So, again, things change, but everything is a test. Yahweh is just checking our loyalty to see if we can be given immortality forever. Two more scriptures, Psalm 15, which tells who are the people that will be in Yahweh's kingdom, in the Psalm of David, the loyal servant of Yahweh. And Yahweh, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? Who shall settle on your holy mountain? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor lifts up a reproach against his neighbor. In his eyes the reprobate has been despised, but he honors those who fear Yahweh. He has sworn to his hurt, and he will not change. He's somebody who's loyal. He has not given his silver at interest, nor has he taken a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be shaken forever. So, you know, life is fleeting. There are temptations in life. Sometimes situations we go in bring temptations, as we see of many Bible stories. But we have to realize everything is a test. And at the end of the day, do you want to give your loyalty away for what? For money, for your reputation, for what? There is nothing that is worth your loyalty. This is the person that Yahweh looks to rule with him forever. We're called to be Melchizedek priests, the highest order of the universe. Is our loyalties to Yeshua and our priesthood to his, or our priesthood to a secular job and our own desires? The decisions you make and the priorities you set will declare your loyalties and is the test of life. So we're all going to say it. Everybody will say, oh yeah, my loyalty is to Yahweh. But the decisions you make and the priorities you set is really telling where your loyalties are. Last scripture is Romans 6:16. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness? Do you not know to whom you present yourself as slaves to obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey? So again, like I said, everybody is a servant of something. Everybody has loyalties to something. But drug addicts have loyalty to drugs. Alcoholics have loyalty to alcohol. Is our loyalty to Yahweh in everything, to the leadership that he sets up, and to his Torah without compromise? And most of all, to Yeshua, who shed his blood to pay the penalty of our sins. You can teach the calendar, you can teach the laws of the Torah, but you can't teach character trait. You can give today examples of it, but you can't teach it. That's why I say it's not just something you do, it's something you are. It must be within you. It can't be taught. You can give it by example, but you can't teach it. People who are disloyal, you're not going to change them. And to be honest with you, when I look in the Bible and I see it, I have zero use for disloyal people. There's things in life that happen, you know. I'm not talking about a sin. There's things in the Bible that we see, like David. He sinned a great sin. It didn't make him disloyal because he sinned a great sin. I'm talking about people who have the character trait of disloyalty. Because if you have that, you know, I always say this, it can take 20 years to build a relationship, one stupid move to destroy it. And if you can't trust, how could you be married to someone that you can't trust them? They're going to leave the house and you're not knowing what they're going to do if they're going to be disloyal to you. It is so important, loyalty, because disloyalty will also bring maybe false accusations. You don't know what. If there's disloyalty there, then you might even be accusing of someone for what they didn't do because you can't trust them. That's why I always tell our child, Mariah, I always say, under every circumstance, no matter what you did wrong, it doesn't matter. You might be punished, but you can never, ever lie to mommy and daddy. You can never lie. Because once you lie to me, then what happens? The next time, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. And that's the thing that keeps us bonded, because it's not that we don't make mistakes, and we could sit here and cry with repentance to each other, and we forgive each other. That's what Scripture is all about. But if we deceive each other, that's something different. Because once we deceive each other, then you lose that loyalty. Then you don't know whether you can trust somebody again. So like I said, it's extremely important, especially in the times we live in. Our eternal life depends on it. And it's not just something we do. It's something we are. Yahweh bless.